Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. It is an interesting thing when you come to a different culture. In the United States, they have Mother's Day in May. Today is Mother's Day, sort of, here in the UK, otherwise known as Mothering Sunday, when people originally were to go back to their mother church, their mother parish, but it has kind of morphed into a similar holiday as Mother's Day in the States. The idea of a Mother's Day, it's a nice thing for mothers, as Father's Day is for fathers, but it is a marking of a moment in someone's life. It is a marking of a moment as for a mother, my wife here of my three sons, it is the moment where she reflects on the fact that she has three children. That is a momentous time in someone's life, especially the moment of birth. When I think about something like that, you think about things along your life, along the journey that you've taken, whether it is as my youngest, who is 7 years old, or as someone who is older. There are times where you can look back and you can see events that are like markers upon the way. And you know what those markers mean. You have an idea of what took place. If someone else had come to you and said, "Oh, why was this date significant?" They had no idea that it made a huge difference in your life. When my wife and I were dating, I began to mow her grass for her, and the house that she owned was built in the 1800s, and I began to mow the grass, and there were a couple of stones, actually three spots in that acre, almost acre of land, that caused me difficulty while I was mowing. And I asked her, "Can I just dig these stones up, because they're really annoying?" And she said, "Actually, no, don't dig those up, because they mark the property boundaries. They were put there back in 1887 to mark this plot of land. And when you look at the deed, they are there. And they're to be there to mark that spot." Those types of things have been in existence for years upon years. Interestingly enough, in Scotland and in the Gaelic language, they're called a cairn. Funny enough, that's the same name as the hotel that we're in today. But those are called cairns. They're a marking stone for whether it's an event or whether it's for a property or whether it's even for a way to walk. And those are called cairns. 3 years ago, my family had a cairn. We left the United States and came to England. There is a marking stone for us on March 2nd for when we left and arrived. And we try and celebrate that each year, because it's a big event for us. To anybody else, March 2nd doesn't mean anything, unless they have something that took place in their life. And when we're looking at the Word of God, there are times, especially in the Old Testament, where we have these cairns, where we have these marking stones for large events. And that's what's taking place in Joshua chapter 24. You think about some of these stones that you see, especially in this land. You can be walking down the road and you can find an old stone. And you can tell that it had a marking on it. But you can't read what that marking is any longer, because it's been there for centuries. And unless you were able to find in some historical document what that stone was about, you'd have no idea who placed it there or why they placed it there. Well, we're looking at Joshua tonight, and Joshua had taken over from Moses. After the children of Israel had come out of Egypt through the powerful, strong hand of Jehovah, they had wandered in the wilderness because of their sin for 40 years. And Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land, so Joshua takes them in. And he was a good leader. And he served the Lord faithfully all his days. And interestingly enough, all of the people that were alive under the leadership of Joshua served the Lord all of their days. It was not until the next generation that the Israelites began to fall away. But Joshua here in chapter 24 is reminding the people of their covenant, of the agreement that they have made with God, and he wants to confirm it with them again. And the people agree. They say, yes, this is what we want to do. We want to serve God. We've seen His mighty hand. Most of those people were my children's age during the plagues upon Egypt. They were small children when they saw the mighty hand of God rain down judgment upon the Egyptians and upon the Egyptian gods. And they come out believing and trusting in Jehovah and follow after Him. And Joshua has this covenant agreed, and they sort of say, we only want to serve Jehovah. We only want to serve the Almighty God. And Joshua says in verse 25, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord, which He spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. See, there in Shechem, Joshua placed a cairn. We don't know the size of a stone. It was probably a very large stone, so that the people could see it. And he placed it under a tree, an oak tree there in Shechem, later to be known as also Shiloh, where the tabernacle of God was to be kept for generations. And he said, I want you to understand that this stone marks something. It marks the covenant that you've made with Jehovah. It's a witness. It's heard what God has said unto you. The blessings and the cursings. The blessings if you follow Him, the cursings if you don't. It's heard those things. It's heard your agreement and your acceptance. And it's there to mark it. It's a reminder so that every time that you come to the tabernacle of that agreement, that covenant that you have made with Jehovah, every time you come to worship, every time that you come with your sacrifice because of your sin, every time that you come with your sacrifice because of the blessings that you've received, that stone is a reminder that it is of God's mercy that you can come. And so he shows them its importance, the meaning of the stone, so that they can remember it. He places it there so they will not miss it. That tabernacle doesn't move from that spot. The Ark of the Covenant will be moved at other times, but the tabernacle remains there until the days of David. Approximately 400 years, it's there. And that stone is there. Do people notice? Do people take thought about it? Those that knew the meaning of the stone, that were there, that heard Joshua's word as it was passed around to the people, they followed the Lord. They followed the Lord all the days of their lives. This portion of Scripture is written down for us here in Joshua. Unfortunately, we never hear of this stone again. We don't hear of it when Eli is sitting outside of the tent and he falls over because the ark is taken. We don't hear of it when Samuel is worshiping the Lord. We do not hear of this stone ever again. It's not referred to. It's not mentioned. We learn in the book of Judges that the children of Israel, the children of these people that were there worshiping, that were there agreeing to the covenant, they departed from following the Lord. And you have that cycle in the book of Judges where they sin. And they'll sin for a large period of time. And then they will have persecution. They'll have an oppressor upon them that drives them back to Jehovah. And they cry out unto the Lord. And He helps them in their distresses. He raises up a judge to bring them out. But they seem to know nothing of that stone, do they? It's impossible to pass on faith in the sense of from one generation to another. It's impossible for me to take my faith and give it to my children so that they will have faith. They have to have their own faith. They have to trust God for themselves. I can't do it for them. What I believe, they must believe themselves. Not of my works, not of my efforts, but of God. They learn from me. That's what we want to have happen. From generation to generation. From faith to faith. But there isn't a guarantee. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. In a few generations, it seems that stone was forgotten. The tabernacle was neglected. They carry the Ark of the Covenant into battle, thinking it's some sort of a talisman that will give them power over their enemies. And the Ark is taken. They had trouble, the Israelites did, looking to God because they didn't remember what the stone meant. They didn't keep focus upon that cairn. For people today, we don't have a stone like that, do we? No, we have something else. It's called the cross of Christ. Not the emblem, not the physical actual substance, but the meaning of the cross, of what Jesus Christ has done. The work of the cross. When I say the cross for the rest of this message, understand that I mean the work. His life, his death, his burial and his resurrection. What Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the cross. That's what Paul preached. That's what we preach today. It's that same message. And I love the fact that Paul is preaching this from the Scriptures. He's not preaching this from the New Testament. He's preaching this from the Old Testament. How that, according to the Scriptures, Christ died for our sins. According to Isaiah. According to the Psalms. According to the promises of God throughout the Old Testament. And according to the Scriptures, he rose on the third day. And then, of course, he was seen, giving evidence and truth to the fact. You see, the cross is a cairn. It is a marking stone, whether you want it to be or not. It is a marking stone for our lives. It was a marking stone for the Jews. It was not a good marking stone for the Jews. It was kind of like those stones in that grass that I was trying to mow. You see, to the Jews in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." You see, to them it was a stumbling block. The cross was something they tripped over. They wanted to move it out of their way. It seemed silly to have it there, like that stone did to me in the grass. They took no thought of it. They said, no, the Messiah is not supposed to die. He's not supposed to suffer. He's supposed to set up a kingdom. But they weren't reading the Scriptures, the same ones that Paul referred to. It was a stumbling block and foolishness to the Jews and the Greeks. But it's there for all of history. Our date, 2016, comes from the birth of our Savior. And whether the date is exactly accurate or not, it makes no difference because that's where the date comes from. That cross, it is a moment in history that changed the course of history. That foolishness to the world, well, that's something special to Christians. Paul says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." It sounds silly to think that I'm going to trust someone who died. But no, to those that believe, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God that raises him from the dead. It is the power of God that takes away the sin of those that trust him. It is the power of God that has the Spirit dwell within them. It is the power of God to give eternal life. The cross is a cairn for the Christian. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's a change that takes place in the life. It is the marking stone for the Christian of more importance than any other thing in their lives. I was 12 years old when the Lord saved me. My life changed drastically because of that. Because of who He is. Because of what He did. Jesus says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, He answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That's the marking stone. Being born of the Spirit. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, for the Christian, the cross is a positive cairn. It is something to look back on and to rejoice upon. It is something to look at today and rejoice upon. For the Jews, it's a stumbling block even to this day. For the Greeks, for those that do not care for the Lord, it is still foolishness. They say, why do you spend your time worshiping God on a Sunday? You could be out doing so many things. You can see them in the on the roads, on the byways, cycling, running, walking, doing so many things besides worshiping the Creator. You see, the cross, to them, it's a negative cairn. It's something to try and dismiss, to try and put away, to try and act like it's not there. It's like a tombstone. They no longer care about it. They don't think it's relevant. Those marking stones you may find when you're walking through the Yorkshire Dales that no longer have the writing. That's what people see the cross as. It's not relevant today. It might be nice to think about every once or twice a year to celebrate when you have some Easter chocolate or when you give gifts at Christmas, but it has no meaning for today. But you see, Jesus says in that same John chapter 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You see, the cairn to the world, the cross to the world, it's a cairn of foolishness. And yet it is so momentous. You know, when someone dies, I've never met someone who, when they were dying, was caring about, oh, I wish I would have rode my bicycle more. Oh, I wish I would have climbed some mountain. I wish I would have done something. It's never about doing something. I wish I would have worked more or made more money. What is it always about? What's coming? And who are they leaving behind? For the world, it's a fear of what's about to take place. Or a fear that their family will not be provided for, or they didn't spend enough time with them. And it's because of the cross that they enter eternity in that shape, because they're condemned, because they did not believe the cross. They did not believe the work of the Son of God dying for sinners. And see, there's actually people in churches today that are in the same state. Jesus says in Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are people throughout this country, throughout probably every country in the world, that at the last day will stand up and say, Lord, Lord, and call Jesus Lord, thinking that they have a relationship with him because they had done things for him in their mind. And he'll say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How is that possible? Because they never trusted Christ. They never came to him in faith. There was never that moment, whether it was a brief moment or a long moment, there was never that time where they had a before and an after. There was never that cairn in their life that they could look back on and say, I began to trust the Lord on that day, and I've been trusting him ever since. No, I've done things for him is what they think. I've worked hard for him is what they think. My efforts mean nothing. They're worthless in the sight of God. That is about belief. It's about trust. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's what it's about. To think that I can work for it. That cairn, that cross, it's a way marker, isn't it? It's pointing the way. It's pointing the way to the Savior. It's a reminder. And it's the duty of a Christian, it's the duty of a believer to constantly tell people what it means. To say, this is what the cross means. You may think there's nothing written there, but this is what it means. And it's relevant to each and every day of our lives. You need to trust the Savior. You need to look to Him. Because it's going to be a cairn, one way or another. For the believer, it is the cairn of when eternal life began. Because that's what He promises in John chapter 3. He gives eternal life, everlasting life. And it's from the moment of belief. It's from the moment when He saves your soul. It's from the moment of the spiritual birth. From that moment forward, that life began. And you'll be trusting Him for eternity. But for the unbeliever, that cross will be a cairn when they stand before the Lord. When they stand before Him and the books are opened. And they're judged on their deeds. And there's not a good deed to be had. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. They have all gone out of the way. That's a sad testimony. That's a sad statement. But the cross will be a cairn, the cairn of the rest of their eternity that they will remember from that moment forward. And they'll say, I wish I would have trusted for an eternity of torment. That's the cross. That's the ultimate cairn. That's the ultimate marking stone. What will it mark in your life? Will it be a cairn that you will look on in a positive light? Will it be that thing that defines who you are for the rest of eternity? Or will it one day be the thing that you wish you would have said, I'm looking to the Lord, and you didn't? That you will regret for the rest of eternity? Trust the Lord. Joshua was trusting the Lord. He was trusting Jehovah. And he was telling the people, trust the Lord. And every one of them that saw the hand of God working in the plagues of Egypt, in bringing them out, in walking after Him in the wilderness, in the conquering of the land, every one of them trusted and walked after and knew exactly what that stone meant. But generations after missed it. What are you missing? It's the cross of Christ. It's the cairn. What way has it pointed you? Is it a marking point in your life? We point you to Jesus Christ. Amen.